Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman, and I'm joined by our regular contributors, Joan Osaer with The New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And Rana, you got yourself a little journalistic coup this week. You were able to have a very lengthy sit-down interview with the corporate raider, or I'm sorry.
Shareholder activist
Carl Icahn, who's really had his sights set on Apple recently.
Yep.
And we've been talking about shareholder activists a lot recently. What's going on?
Well, it's going to be a record year, most likely, for actions on the part of shareholder activists against target companies. This has been growing for a couple of years now, and really it's all about two things: the cash on the balance sheets in corporate America, and that's the story with Apple. Icahn would like them to pay back even more to shareholders in the form of buybacks and dividends. But it's also about the fact that big institutional investors, pension funds, are getting really interested in goosing the share price and the longer-term performance of companies. They're worried about their returns. They're worried about being able to meet their obligations. And so I think that you're going to see more and more of them start to pour money into activist funds.
Joe, on this pension question that Rana was just talking about, she mentioned the obligations that they have, but couldn't they just meet those obligations by reducing the benefits they provide?
Well, you have a situation, for instance, in Detroit, where the city has declared bankruptcy and a court has upheld that. Well, what does bankruptcy mean? One of the things it means is that they will be able to rewrite their contracts, which such as the firemen and the policemen, about the pension obligations. Pension obligations are burdening many, many cities, many, many states, and it's becoming a crisis in the country.
But does this mean for other pension plans in other parts of the country? Here in New York, for example, there haven't been union contracts for many public employees. But the city's not facing bankruptcy. So does that mean that their pension contracts could actually get renegotiated because of what's happening in a bankrupt city like Detroit?
In a word, yes. Take a look at Illinois, which just had a statewide vote to redo their pensions. And in Rhode Island, the legislature voted to change the way pensions were paid, and the unions have sued. And it's a really, really important suit because if the union wins, that means you're not going to be able to redo the pensions without bankruptcy. And if the unions lose, it does mean that legislatures will have more power and more control.
And, you know, Joe's making a very important point about lawsuits, because after these types of incidents and when there are bankruptcies of the kind you've seen in Detroit, it tends to go on and on for years, the lawsuits. There are countries that have gone bankrupt, like Argentina. 12 years ago, they're still suing over who's going to get paid. There are counties and cities in California that have gone through the same thing, and you have years and years of lawsuits, very timely and expensive.
But what about the sanctity of the contract, or the argument that a lot of these people, you know, maybe they didn't get better wages because they were going to get pensions, they put off things to the future? Is there an abrogation of the public trust in some aspect?
Well, historically, you'll remember Eastern Airlines and began with the airlines, where they went into bankruptcy for the explicit reason to abrogate the union contracts, which you're allowed to do under bankruptcy. So, I mean, in a word, if the country can't handle the pension obligations have to be written. There's really not much other choice.
I guess there's not a lot of sympathy then from the private sector employees, if they've already lost their pensions, to see the public sectors facing a similar sort of fate now.
I think there's not. And also, it's worth saying that some of these cities that are, you know, potentially going to go bankrupt or have these problems actually have a robust private sector. I mean, Detroit's a great example because there are some interesting things happening there. There are companies moving into downtown Detroit, and there is the opportunity for growth, but there is this huge overhang, as Joe said, of obligations that simply could not be met.
Well, let me turn to another topic that's really going to be front and center next week, and this has to do with the banking regulators are scheduled to approve the Volcker Rule. That's the proposal that would make it illegal for banks to make trades with their own money and perhaps threaten their own stability. It's a rule that's about 3 years in the making, and there's all sorts of exemptions and some banks that aren't covered, but why do we need this rule? Will it make the system safer?
I think if it's properly enforced and that you don't have a lot of loopholes, yeah, it could make the system safer, because essentially what it would do would be to separate commercial banking, plain vanilla lending to real people and businesses, from riskier trading operations. That's the kind of separation that you had many decades ago. A lot of people think that the system was safer then. And in any case, if there were problems in the system, if there are risky trades that go bad, like with the J.P. Morgan's London Whale, then we don't end up underwriting them as taxpayers.
So, yes or no question, does the Volcker Rule run the danger of pushing off these things that we don't want to happen to the shadowy, dark corners of the financial sector where there's less regulation?
Yes.
I will elaborate. Yes, but that was already happening. So since the financial crisis, the shadow banking sector has already grown by about $5 trillion. So it's not as though, you know, it wasn't growing already. And I think that there's a faulty argument that, oh, we shouldn't regulate the regular banking sector because then we'll have problems in shadow banking. Well, we already had those. We need to make sure we have a safer system in both those places.
What the regulators are trying to do ultimately is make banking boring. But there's still all this complicated, exciting stuff that's going to go on that people want, that traders want, whatever. And so it's all going to happen elsewhere, and the bank industry is going to be a little less profitable and a little more boring, and that's not such a bad thing.
Well, let's take a look to some of the other stories we're watching. Rana, what's on your radar?
So the third quarter GDP numbers are out, and they're actually surprisingly positive, 3.6%. That's a lot higher than we've seen in some time. The question is it going to hold? And I would say no. If you drill down into the figures, you see that a lot of the jump up has to do with companies, businesses just buying more inventory, getting products on the shelves that they didn't have before. That's in part because there was such a slow growth period that you didn't have a lot of inventory going off the shelves. And also in the run-up to the fourth quarter Christmas spending season, that number tends to jump up. So I think the fourth quarter is probably going to be back down.
Joe?
I'm thinking about accounting.
Who isn't?
Anyway, we read that the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, which is a regulator that grew up after the Enron scandal to enforce tougher accounting standards, is planning on proposing a rule that every auditor has to list the name of the lead partner when they do an audit.
And the significance of that?
Well, the accounting...
Is this name and shame?
That's exactly what it is. It's name and shame. And the view is that it will bring more honor to the accounting profession. And I think it's a good idea.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine, Joe Nocera with The New York Times. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.